Blog Talk Radio.
For the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
And you will know us by the trail of death.
Truth of your world government has now been exposed. You are not our queen. You are not our king. You are not our God. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans that stood since the beginning of time against the strong man, against the thug, against the bully. We will defeat your world government. You will, and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The words you're saying right now are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play a effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they commit against you and your family as well. You want to stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation. The banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
welcome to blogtalkradio.com/truthemergesradio network, and you listen to the Sonny Thomas Show, and this is your host, Sonny Thomas. This is a very special double show here that we got going on. This is 9/11, and as much as we really don't want to live off that particular day and mourn necessarily, what I'm saying is we don't want to the terrorists, if you believe that story, basically feeding off the fact that we're mourning over that very shameful day that happened here in American history. At the same time, we should take this more like of a wake attitude like the Irish do and basically use that as a strength instead of a weakness. So it's good to stop to reflect on what happened at that sad day on September the 11th, 2001. But at the same time, we should use that as and make us resolute in going after not just necessarily the sons of bitches that actually did the stuff that day, but find out the truth behind that matter. These are the things that we really need to look at, because there is so much evidence to clearly show that this is completely an orchestrated situation and not just by some 6'6" Arab in a cave. That story is obviously losing some serious ground, and we're starting to realize that 9/11 is an inside job on many different levels. So these are things that we really need to look at. So I got an interesting, very interesting show today, as well as some other stuff that's coming up here in the next few weeks as well. Thank you for some of my listeners giving me some feedback recently on the air. That's actually some pretty good stuff, and we're going to make sure we're going to get as many callers as we can today. So I always enjoy your feedback, as well as my fans, as well as my detractors out there. You know who you are. You just keep talking your bunk, and eventually it's going to come and bite you in your ass, buddy. You know exactly who you are. So, cilantro mahat, my friend. Anyways, my first guest I'm going to have come on is Dashboard Outlaw, who's Earl Conlon, who is on our network on Sunday nights at the same time. And he was actually at a biker's memorial tribute or something for 9/11 in D.C. There's bikers and truckers, I do believe. And he was actually there, boots on the ground, using live stream and everything else. So he's able to upload hours and hours worth of footage and was able to record it. So he's going to have a lot of editing work to do here in the next probably week or so to get it done. But I'm very much looking forward to his content and everything else that he'll obviously be able to upload on YouTube as well as feature on the shows. Earl Conlon will be on here at the bottom of the hour at 9:30. And he would give us some an updated report of what he saw there at that particular event. Also, my very special guest in the second hour is Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's going to be coming on for a very short time period this evening, and we're looking forward to his comments as he is presenting his newest film, Anatomy of the Deception, which I think is, if I do recall correctly, because I haven't seen it yet, I'm looking forward to actually viewing it very soon, is basically his awakening of 9/11, which happened in 2006. But basically, he woke after listening to a program called Guns and Butter there in San Francisco, and it really made him think. And then he started looking into it, and he realized as an architect, as there's just an engineer, there's just no way in hell that the buildings could have fallen the way they have. So we're going to discuss many of those theories tonight, and the phone line is going to be open at 347-855-8301. That's 347-855-8301. So we're going to also cover some stories here. We're going to have Earl Conlon come on at 9:30, and then we're going to cover more callers at the top of the hour. Richard Gage is going to come on probably near the bottom of the second hour. And then the rest of that time going into the third hour, make sure you stay in queue. No matter how long it is, stay online in queue, and you will be in the post-recorded third hour, and you'll be able to voice your comments as well. So all theories are open, and we're going to talk about 9/11 and also some of the other stuff, and also some of the blowback of 9/11, such as why did we really end up in Iraq? I mean, for example, there's a lot of stuff that was going on in the Golden Triangle during the Vietnam War. And we found out that not only many shows and some movies reflected or at least touched upon this, that there was obviously that the war was not only a complete military-industrial complex grand slam for their money, but at the same time is also proliferating the drug trade. How convenient by the time that there's a ceasefire in North Vietnam,
in 1972 that all of a sudden, after Nixon gets reelected in a landslide, he basically declares war on drugs. So it's pretty obvious that there's one thing leads to another, and if not, the tail is definitely wagging the dog in that regard. So it's going to be very interesting in its own right. Coming up on future episodes, I have an actress from Northeast Ohio who gives some updates, some of the shenanigans that's going on with the local governments up there at her neck of the woods. Unfortunately, due to some of the fact that some of this is still in litigation, she may not be able to give into a lot of detail of what's actually happening with her case in particular, but I'm sure she's probably got a whole slew of other shenanigans that that aren't case-specific that I'm sure she'll definitely show and that we can probably see very, very many similarities going on in our neck of the woods here, not only in Ohio, but also in your neighborhood. So it's going to be very interesting overall what is going on, and I guarantee it could probably reflect what's happening in your neighborhood. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to Richard Gage this evening, as well as Aaron Collin, the Dashboard Outlaw, and he's going to give us an update here at the bottom of the hour. Again, the number is 347-855-8301. I'm going to go over a list of some stories that are happening real quick and kind of give you a generalized update on some of the shenanigans that's definitely happening and things that we need to look into that. So follow me on Facebook at Sonny Thomas Show, also on Twitter at Sonny Thomas Show. Okay. And I'm trying to fix a couple things here on my device. I'm actually trying a couple of different things real fast. I'm actually in the process of trying to record the show live via video to upload later on. We got some new particular things that I'm playing with here, and definitely looking forward to some other good stuff. So let me try to get something going here. I've got a little technical difficulty that I'm fixing right now. Okay. So we shall see how this thing works. Okay. It's like that's nice playing with some toys. Unfortunately, you have to beta test them while you're actually on the air. Again, number is 347-855-8301. When serious callers will call in and talk about your theories on 9/11, I don't want any bullshit either where you got some freaking prank out there. He likes to think he's cute and come off with some stuff and air his dirty laundry on radio, because I know there's a couple assholes out there who like to do that shit. But I want to hear some legitimate arguments about what's going on, because from what I've generally seen, because I listened to Jones for a long time, and I watched Loose Change, of course, if you don't fall asleep to that damn film, because the voiceover is so monotone, it will knock you out within 20 minutes. However, it is very thorough. Unfortunately, though, Jason Brumis has actually said that admitted that there's some information on that film that obviously has been purposely skewed, or whatever the case may be, trying to discredit his own film. But nevertheless, it is an excellent primer of the stuff to look at and start to understand 9/11 and what the hell happened that day and the things led up to it and how in the hell during Reagan, we could have SDI, but we couldn't even monitor our own planes, find out what the hell is going on, and top that off, vice president, a sitting vice president, when the president's not incapacitated or incarcerated, is basically shouting out orders? Really? I mean, it's clearly obvious that there's some shenanigans going on here. No vice president's ever had the power that Dick Cheney had during their regime. That's something very interesting in its own right. So, nevertheless, okay, I'm around for a couple of stories that are focusing on Sonny Thomas Show's Facebook page. Some very interesting stuff. Opening song was, of course, Animal Grace, a local area Dayton band from the album Act of God, an excellent album, also from 2001. Band is still putting out really great material and still play a lot locally. And actually, if all goes well, we'll hopefully be opening for Pat Travers up at BMI Racetrack there in Versailles, I do believe possibly November. So knock on wood, and hopefully at Animal Grace have a chance to open for that legend, that's for sure. So very much looking forward to checking it out. Okay, a couple of interesting stories that have popped up that have featured on the show. Some very interesting stuff that's going on with generalized, quote-unquote, hate speech, which is really just another form of political correctness, as well as some stories here about general government overreach. Here's a particular story here called Bill Introduced to Disarm, quote, Cupcake Cops. This is interesting. You know how Michelle Maybell or Michael Obama, depending on how you look at it, because she may be a tranny, and there's a very good way that it could be, and obviously look what happened to Joan Rivers when she brought that out. Conspiracy theories are loving that particular thing. Here's a particular story again. Bill introduced to disarm cupcake cops. You know, one of the things that Michelle's been doing is basically trying to infiltrate all the school systems and tell them how in the hell they can serve their lunch. Well, I remember 20 years ago or so when I was in high school that we had vending machines, but they had no actual pop that was available in the vending machines, just things like Hawaiian Punch and things of that nature, because they don't want kids bouncing off the walls. Not to mention if they have any type of juvenile diabetes, it sure as they don't want them feeding that stuff and having going into diabetic shock because of way too much sugar or not enough insulin or whatever the case may be. But this one here, Texas Congressman Ted Poe has introduced H.R. 5417, an attempt to disarm the, quote, federal food police. The legislation would prohibit any funds from being used to implement USDA's new ban on school fundraisers and bake sales during school hours, the Kingswood Observer reports. The regulations were a signature initiative by the first shady, Michelle Obama, because she is. She's shady as hell. Hang on one damn second here. I hate these pop-up ads, man. They really piss me off. The federal food police need to stay out of our schools, Poe says. First, the regulators come into our lunchrooms, then vending machines, and now school fundraisers. Bake sales are as American as apple pie, and I have to agree. For years, students and parents have used the bake sales as ways to raise funds for school trips, athletic competitions, new uniforms, and other activities. Teachers in my district have come to me concerned that this new rule will prevent the students from holding various after-school activities. Washington bureaucrats have no business telling any American, no matter what age, what they can and cannot eat, the congressman says. I concur. Not only is this a rule of an example of gross government overreach, is also denying public schools thousands of dollars of extracurricular activities. Congress should not fund any efforts to implement this abuse of government government power, the congressman tells the Observer. So the Washington regulators, many of whom have their kids go to private school that are not covered by the new rules, go figure, say kale chips and quinoa are to replace snow cones and Valentine's candy, Post said in a speech. Isn't that lovely? Numerous states and school districts have been seeking exemptions to the bake sale regulations or dropping out of the National School Lunch Program altogether, foregoing federal reimbursements by gaining freedom. Now, interesting enough is here in Springboro, here's a prime example of elections have consequences. Recently, we have elected a complete cultural Marxist-led school board through Malone, Stuckey, and Anderson, affectionately known as MSA. Might as well be another form of GMO as far as I'm concerned. But we have a Marxist-led school board, which totally is a counterbalance to our complete conservative and libertarian-leaning school board that we had last time, who actually got us out of a $20 million deficit, gave us a $12 million surplus and a rollback levy for the taxpayer. Now we're starting to see they're already starting to charge millions and millions of dollars in debt to supposedly fix the school roofs when only two of them need to be repaired. And they were already allocating funds for the same purpose and at the same time contracting with a shady contractor who used substandard materials and charges them premium rates. And to top that off, if the school doesn't deliver after they agree to do this stuff, that the repair crew can actually seize possession of the schools if they default on the bill in any way, shape, or form. So our schools that our taxpayer money built could be confiscated because of a bad decision and bad balancing. This is the type of shenanigans that's going on in school here in Springboro. Another thing is these damn Chromebooks that they're forcing everybody to buy and that they only have five per class. We have at least 25 to 35 students per classroom. That's BS. So these things run anywhere between 100 $250 to $300. And what's most egregious is that if you've got a senior in high school, they're only going to get 1 year out of it. And if you do sell it to an underclassman, you're going to sell, you're going to maybe get half price of what you paid for it. That's totally BS. And people on the one of the message boards here in Springboro, active Springboro, they're totally screwed and pissed off at why they got to pay for all this stuff. Well, again, elections have consequences. And not only that, but the school board is totally a majority over the conservative minority has agreed to accept Common Core. So there you go. We've got the complete school system, which was leading the pack, way ahead of everybody, has now been brought back safely into the collective, and now our taxpayer money is badly going to use, and now none of that, but you have to go pay for this new technology that really didn't even need to be implemented. There you go. Good going there, voters of Springboro. You got what you paid for. Okay, going on to the next story here, which is pretty interesting. One of the things that concerns me is one of the things we do talk about the New World Order here. Most of the New World Order, it does have another name for it. Majority of the active participants in the New World Order are Zionist Jews. And these are things that we really need to start looking into, and we really need to start lashing out at these ultra-elitists, they're literally like half percent, that pretty much run and dictate everything, who control almost 95% of our media and also all the other stuff that's going on here. So this is one of the things that I'm really interested in of itself. Here's a particular story here that really kind of gets into my call, and then I'll go down to the bottom of the hour here. Jews are now in full control. Canadian man goes to jail for posting on white nationalist websites. This is interesting. A second Jewian man who refused to stop posting, quote, racist messages on his website is going to jail. On Wednesday, a federal court judge sentenced Terry Tremaine of Regina to at least 30 days in jail for acting in contempt of an order of the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. Boy, that sounds like a fascist group in itself. Tremaine, a former University of Sacagawea math instructor himself, was found in 2007 to have posted messages online that, quote, attacked people of various races. This gets even more interesting and PC out the ass. The theme of Mr. Tremaine's message was that Jews, blacks, and other non-whites are destroying Canada, and they should either be deported or segregated, just as Sean Harrington said. This is interesting. We hear blacks say this about stuff all the time. We hear blacks actually saying this about Hispanics because Hispanics are actually taking jobs away from American blacks because they can get them for pennies on a dollar compared to a black worker. You know what I mean? Not to mention also with this new shit that they're bringing in across the border, they're getting huge kickbacks to start basically setting up bank accounts for these jokers as well as also getting them jobs. So we already have the black population who think their messiah is Barack Obama. Well, he's definitely your messiah. Really, he's your antichrist because of the fact that he has done nothing for the black community in any way, shape, or form. If anything, he's totally thumbed the nose at him and laughed his ass off at you just because of his sepia skin tone. You dumbasses keep worshiping the ground he walks on. Really? That's freaking bullshit. If you want to start worshiping someone, worship someone that actually stood up for the black community, such as Malcolm X. He was a black nationalist. He actually stood up for the black community. And when I asked him about if he thought socialism would work, his reply was, is it good for blacks? Well, that's a good point. I mean, arguably, of all the civil rights activists of the 1960s, Malcolm X is my favorite and most influential. The guy was very well read while he was in the clink, and he basically called everyone out for what he was. And when he realized his mentor was just totally full of shit, he denounced him and called him on it and was going to start his own, so they shot him. It's clearly obvious what's going on. Another film you might want to pick up at the Red Box, which is really good, is a film on Cesar Chavez, the Hispanic farm rights worker in the 1960s and the early 70s, who basically helped unionize the Hispanic field workers out there in California. Actually, it's not very biased at all. It's a fairly honest portrayal of Cesar Chavez, and it goes to all of the stuff he went through, including trying to keep the movement peaceful, not allowing any agent provocateurs within the group to start anything, as well as also him going on his fast for well over a month, which really jeopardized his own health to clearly show that he stood true to his beliefs. So, again, definitely, I do believe the actor's name is Michael Pena, who is He was in Shooter with Mark Wahlberg. He was a federal agent that kind of hooked up with him. Again, a very good film and well worth the $1.29 at the Redbox. So it does showcase Hispanics in a positive light. It also showcases different ways on how to organize, and at that time was fairly standard for any type of group that wanted any type of general recognition. But definitely worth a viewing nonetheless. I also recommend everybody also check out Jarhead 2. That's also a good film in its own right, and also definitely go check The Purge. Everyone needs to see that. Okay, we are here at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to finish one more story, and I'm going to bring on the Dashboard Outlaw, Earl Conlon, and he's going to give us an update of the rally that he saw there overall. And real quick, just to go over some of the guests we're going to have coming up pretty soon. I'm still trying to reach Michael Talbot from the television series Miami Vice. I do have his basic information, and it's just getting to the last minute tracking down exactly where it is. So he probably won't be available for the 25th show, just simple fact. I'd like to book my guests at least 2 weeks in advance, but we're going to try to work on that. I've done things in the 11th hour on a few shows, so this will be interesting nonetheless. But also next week, again, we have Deanna Meadows, and also looking at another guest is actually going to make another appearance, which I will tell you near the end of the show. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a lady from South Africa who is going to tell us firsthand of the atrocities that's going on down there and the apartheid that's actually being put on the Boer farmers, as well as whites in general, and how they're actually practicing white genocide on the 25% white population that resides in South Africa. We're finalizing the details on that as we speak, because it's a totally different time frame for them, and she has to be up very, very early in the morning, her time, to be on our show here in the evening. So very much looking forward to her stories about what's happened to her firsthand, also to her family, as well as some of her neighbors and friends that are living there in South Africa. And, again, nobody wants to talk about this, but this is something that definitely needs to be addressed, because genocide, I don't give a damn what freaking color you are, is genocide by definition, and it needs to be addressed. What really pisses me off the most is that the left want to go and sit there and attack and say, we need to go invade Sudan and go do all that bullshit, but when it comes to South Africa, who is an ally of the United States, oh, no, we will totally turn a blind eye to what's going on there and refuse what's happening, just like we did in Rwanda until it got so bloody nasty that they had to do something about it. And if you haven't seen the film Hotel Rwanda, with starring Don Cheadle, about the atrocities that happened in that country on a lot of the nonviolent blacks in that country, definitely worth the viewing. So genocide by any color, I don't give a damn what the fuck your color is, it's unacceptable, and call it what it is, a war crime. And any, I don't give a damn if it's Israel or blacks in South Africa or any other particular ethnic group that wants to go and kill, maim, slaughter, rape, and totally destroy another ethnicity needs to be dealt with firsthand. And this bullshit with ISIS that Obama's trying to pull, this is another quasi-bullshit way for us to go and bomb Syria. We managed to hold off an invasion before, and I'm telling you right now, you usurper, you're getting ready to drop bombs. One frickin' American boot, one UN boot, lands this goddamn foothold on the shores of Syria, we're coming, you motherfucker. We're going to put handcuffs on you and charge you with war crimes against humanity and not just against American people. So if you think you're brave enough, you son of a bitch, go for it. Because of the fact we pleaded to you to look into 9/11 and you refused to do anything about it. If anything, you started silencing whistleblowers. So now we've got your number, you SOB. We are going to get your skank ass. You bet and watch it. Whether you're sitting in that chair or out of it, you're going down, B.O., and we're going to get you. So enough with Barry Sotaro and him usurping that office of the people, by the people, and for the people. All right. I'm going to bring on Earl Conlon here. He's got boots on the ground thinking of what's going on with this 9-11 biker and trucker rally that's going on there. And very much looking forward to his comments. And then shortly after that, I'm going to go ahead and bring callers on to talk about 9-11. He definitely is an inside job, and why that 17 of the 19 hijackers, if I remember the call correctly, were still alive shortly after 9/11. That's just complete horseshit. And why Saudi Arabia is behind this, and how the myth of that supposedly Iraq was behind it was just a bullshit excuse to go into Iraq and outthrow Saddam Hussein. He had nothing to do with 9/11. If anything, he's probably realized, oh shit, they're gonna stereotype all of the Arabs to think they had something to do with 9/11. Now they're gonna invade all of us. Well, essentially, that has been the Bush doctrine, and that's been the Barack Obama doctrine as well, of invading sovereign countries and killing leaders such as Muammar Gaddafi and everything else to go do a larger agenda. So this is absolutely sickening. So I'm going to bring on the Dashboard Outlaw, and he's going to give us a complete update of what's going on down there in D.C. How's it going, Earl?
All right, Sonny. How are you tonight?
Not too bad, brother. I'm looking forward to your report. You said you saw a lot of interesting activity as well as some very keynote speakers down there. So give us an update real fast.
All right. Well, we rolled into town this morning around, 10 o'clock, and there was thousands and thousands of bikes everywhere. I mean, the mall was really filling up pretty quick, and they were coming from all different directions. And they had permits, and so did the truckers. But it turned out that even though they had permits, the cops started giving out tickets. So a lot of the bikers left because they were getting tickets and cops harassing them. So by the time the speakers and the band and all that played, a lot of the bikers left because of the cops.
Uh-huh.
But the speakers, they had the band of Madison Rising. They were great. And the guy that did Obama 2016 movie. Yeah. That's him. Yeah. I have a hard time with his name. Anyway, he was the key speaker. And we also had a preacher, and when I preacher, I forget his name now, but I got it all on video. I recorded it as well as you streamed it all day long. But, yeah, it would have been a whole lot better if the cops weren't bothering everybody. But
Well, just to add to that real quick, Earl, I just want to mention the fact that we all need to support Dinesh D'Souza right now because he's going through a really hell of a time, and we see how free speech is not only being directly assaulted in this country, basically if you have any opinions whatsoever, that's not the status quo or you're not leading to a Marxist-led utopia, that basically that you are a domestic terrorist, that you are basically should be thrown in FEMA camps, all sorts of stuff. And we see obviously out there by some of the shenanigans that's going on, that this is totally unacceptable. So, again, I have to agree with Alex Jones. As much as I dislike Michael Moore, I would defend his ability of his freedom of speech and fight and defend it to the end because of the fact that I don't agree with his films for the most part, but I would generally say that I'm not going to tell him he can't make them. I'm not going to tell him that he can't put them out. I sure as hell I'm not going to sit and boycott every damn place that may want to feature his films because what we're seeing is other filmmakers out there either A, having a hard time getting advertising time through major networks to showcase it, B, maybe having a little bit of hesitation by some movie theater chains because they're afraid of being put on a watch list, per se, and also C, that distracts other filmmakers from either A, completely telling the truth about whatever topic matter they want to do. They have to essentially censor themselves so that way they don't show up on the radar, which is totally un-American, man. It really is. So, I mean, I really appreciate the fact that you took time out of your day to go to that event. And just generally speaking, how big was the turnout there, Earl?
In the beginning, there was, I would say, a couple of 100,000. It wasn't as big as it was last year, but they were coming from all over. And like I said, they were all having fun, enjoying themselves until some asshole cops have to start putting out tickets. And why the hell are they getting tickets? They have permits to be there. Now, the truckers, there was not nowhere near as many truckers as they were hoping for, but most of the truckers that were there were on motorcycles. And we had a permit, but when we got there, there was all these cars in the spots that we were supposed to have. So we, the truckers, said the hell with it, and we popped our brakes right in the right-hand lane and made our own frickin' parking spot. So everybody had to go around us, and we parked our truck right there in the right lane.
So what else happened?
It was big enough to get away with it. Anyway, I walked through the mall, and I happened to catch a couple of officers, or could I call them federal officers, stating to other people that they were talking to, well, this is federal land. Excuse me. Federal land belongs to the people. And then there was this helicopter up above. I swear the helicopter could see me pointing my camera at them because I was zooming in on them trying to get a video of what was on the side of that camera. I mean that helicopter. But every time I went pointing that camera at that helicopter, he would move to where I couldn't see him, like straight above me. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. But anyway, I don't know, man. I'm telling you, that place is such a snake pit. It's disgusting that they'll give out permits and then they'll turn around and give people tickets. But they weren't giving their tickets out to RVs and stuff like that, right?
Well, the thing that really that I respect about that is the fact that people are actually taking the time on 9/11 to come together for a particular purpose.
Absolutely.
And exercising the freedom of assembly.
And it was
at the same time, I was there in New York
for that patriotism.
Well, I was there in New York for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and what really I found egregious was that they did the same thing again this year. They kept out the first responders. I mean, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of either A, that they're going to start demanding more answers because they're asking the right questions? We saw a petition there in New York, Earl, but basically they were demanding that there's an independent investigation going into 9/11 because of the fact that they know that the official story is a fraud. It becomes more and more apparent every day. And Building 7, arguably, is the smoking gun, not to mention the plane going down in Pennsylvania. Where's all the damn wreckage? Well, I mean, where's the wreckage at the Pentagon? There was no bodies anywhere. There's no luggage, nothing, dude. You can't tell me that you had a DC-10 hit that damn thing. There's no damn way, dude, unless I had nothing on it. And even if it did, where are all the seats? The thing just folded up into the building? That's BS. That's horseshit. So was there any high-caliber talent that was down there at the rally that you recognized, Earl?
High-caliber talent?
Well, you had Dinesh D'Souza. Was there anyone else that you recognized?
Well, nobody that I know that's famous. I mean,
Well, you were talking about some of the some of the leaders of whatever group that was putting this together. You said there was some new people that were there.
Belinda B. was there. She was the lady that organized the biker rally. The lady that did the trucks was Virgie. I think that's her name, Virgil or Virgil. Virgie, whatever the hell her name is. Anyhow, she was a nice lady, though. We had some preacher there. I like I said, I got it all on video. There was one Fox News commentator that used to be some military guy. He was there doing some speaking. There was an ex-Navy SEAL that wrote a book. I'm so bad with names, and right now my brain is scattered. So I apologize for giving such a bad report. But
you're fine.
When I get home, I'm going to be putting these videos, and you'll see just about the whole damn event from beginning to end, of at least to the end where I left. And I'm trying to think, I know that the there was the federal agent of federal police there. There was cops everywhere. I got to meet with the band Madison Rising. I didn't get to meet DeSoja personally. I didn't get to shake his hand or nothing. God, I'm having a brain fart, Sonny. I'm sorry. My brain just decided to shut down on me when you asked that question.
Oh, you're fine, brother. Well, like you said, it's good that you took time out of your day to make sure that you were there and able to film it firsthand so people get a chance to see what's going on. So I'm very much looking forward to your video feed as well to be featured on YouTube and to check it out. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see, that's for sure.
Yeah,
any last things you want to comment on?
I when I get home and I have a faster internet, because out here on the road I use an air card, and mm-hmm. it can get slow as crap sometimes. But when I'm home and I'm on my Wi-Fi at home, I can cut these videos up into suitable sizes for the internet and start posting like crazy. So you'll be able to see everything that happened today in high definition.
Awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And sometimes that's the video is you know, picture says 1,000 words, you know what I mean?
And I wasn't the only one down at the mall that was having problems with internet. I think they've got some kind of signal blocker down there, because one minute I would have internet, one minute I had nothing. And it was like, what the heck? And I got lucky that the internet stayed up long enough for me to get the speakers on stage so that I could Ustream it. And also the webcams, again, they were looped to be older webcams so that you couldn't see all the bikers that were in town. They had old loops on. And it's like, why are they doing that? Because they don't want anybody outside of D.C. to think for a minute that there's people that actually oppose Obama and this government, that they want everybody outside that city to believe that everything's fine. We love Obama. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, love to hate on. Anyways, definitely an issue going there in of itself, that's for sure. I did read a story somewhere that they said that Barack Obama was found not even to be eligible to work in the United States. I think I'm going to try to cover that here
by the way,
during the commercial break.
I did get to meet David Miller. He came and we found a way to get some money and got him out there on the bus. He came in and came and sat in my truck and had lunch with me. So David Miller mm-hmm. from Revere Riders at the WWR Network, he's got all kinds of videos up, so you just catch his videos to get a piece of the action, too. So, yes, sir. That's it. That's all I got.
All right, brother. Thank you for coming on and give us an update. And make sure that you listen to the Dashboard Outlaw same time on Sundays and here on blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges. So definitely worth the show tuning in for. So thanks for calling in, Earl.
Thanks for having me, Sonny. And 4:30 in the morning is catching up with me after today, so I'm going to go to bed.
All right, take it easy, brother. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Sonny. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so that was Earl Conlon giving us a on-the-boots thing of what's going on down there and telling us what he saw firsthand. So I'm sure he'll elaborate a little bit more on his show on Sunday, as well as it'll give him some time to get some of that video footage together, so that's pretty interesting. Okay, so we got about 12 minutes or so before the top of the hour before we do a commercial break. I'm going to go ahead and look at my calls here. I've got some that have been on it for a little while and bring some of them on, and hopefully I've got some interesting questions, if not some interesting information, to pass along about this day on 9/11. And yeah, it is a day of remembrance, but also should be a day of perseverance too. That should remind us that why we as Americans need to start standing up and start asking some hard questions about our government and what they did and didn't do on 9/11, because it's clearly obvious here they got caught with their pants down if it was a legitimate terrorist attack or it was set up to have their pants down, because obviously, as we've seen on many pictures on Facebook, that the Twin Towers represented the Bill of Rights. Five of them is in one tower, five of them is in the other, and the planes are basically going to knock them down, so it's pretty obvious what the hell is going on. So I'm going to bring on area code 860, and welcome to the St. Thomas Show. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Gail Whitright. How are you?
Say again, ma'am.
My name is Gail Whitright. I'm a Connecticut teacher. I am a friend of Earl Collins. And he says to me, just like I do. And, Sonny, I'm the founder of PropositionUSA.com. We're talking about our country. And the goal of it is to bring our country back and to help our veterans. And that's our number one goal, by every American helping one other American. And I'm asking your listeners to please help me, because we're going to be doing it the whole month of September. All people have to do is help one other person. Our number one priority is veterans, which is crucial, Sonny, because 23 veterans a day commit suicide. There's over 200,000 homeless veterans and any given night, and the veterans are dying from lack of care. And all we want people to do is at 5 o'clock your time just to wave the American flag at the end of your driveway, on an overpass, wherever you are. And if anyone is listening, if there's a high school teacher or a principal or anybody at all, I would love to come and speak to the school and do a little assignment how we brought back our country, because I truly believe we can bring back our country, and it's time to do it. I have a website. It's called PropositionUSA.com.
Okay. Because I've always said it, too, that the best health care in the world should go to our veterans first, because they put everything on the line and obviously lost something along the way. And how the VA has always traditionally been behind the eight ball on many things is just totally unacceptable, especially with the tax base that they have available to them. When Obamacare was being debated, I said, you want to know what Obamacare is going to be like? I said, look at the VA. That's your government-sponsored health care. So it's going to be whatever situation a veteran's face, going to be 10 to 100 times worse for us, because it's going to be a larger base. And now that we've seen the VA scandals of what's going on and how they're not only being deprived care, but they're also living in filth and squalor or even being turned away, if not purposely being put on long lists, so they'll just die and fade away, so they're no one call them bitch anymore because all the veterans are dying off. I mean, that is – how much more egregious can it get? I mean, you talk about subversion. Talk about subversion of the American people by their own government.
Exactly. And I've been doing this for a while, and sometimes I think, what am I doing? But I really truly believe that God wants me to do this. And I look at those Wounded Warrior ads, and then I know why I am doing it. And that is our number one priority, Sonny, is a database in every single town where the veterans can call in whatever they need. They may need a job. They might need food. They might need a hug. And the local people can fulfill their needs. And I'm just really asking your listeners to please help me. It's called PropositionUSA.com. And I really believe, like, even a high school, you know, on a Saturday night, the high school kids can get the word out in 20 minutes where the parties are. Well, I would like them to get the word out about PropositionUSA and to get their whole town to get into it. And as you know, you all know, the media is the whole thing. I've begged the media to cover this, and they cover things about Lindsay Lohan and Kim Kardashian and everything else. But I cannot give up, and I'm asking people to please contact me if they can help me in any way. And even if you're, you know, a veteran or some kind of a civic group, even if they got one person, like in Connecticut, there's 169 towns, and on every green, you know, we have a founder's congregational church. And even if it was one person on every single green to get the media, to finally get the media to cover it, I mean, I've had some success, and I have people, Gail Whitwright, I'm a Connecticut teacher, I'm a patriot, and we want those veterans out there to know we love you so much, and thank you for our freedom. Thank you so much, Sonny.
Well, thank you very much for calling in and telling us what's going on and giving us the information for your organization, because, and again, if anyone's out there, please check out her website and make sure that we have a second annual Oktoberfest here in Springboro, Ohio, and some of the proceeds from the door money that's coming in is actually going to the Wounded Warrior Project. So that's something that obviously we're able to do here to help our warriors get back on the feet, or at least cope with whatever they lost over there, especially if they lost a couple of good buddies. Because, you know, when you're in a platoon like that, it is a brotherhood. And I think some people forget that. And I've had some friends that were and coworkers that are veterans, and that's one of the things they miss is that brotherhood that they have when they're in a platoon, because they'll look out for each other. When you come into workplace,
right,
everyone's more worried about how to tear each other apart, because they're always trying to use someone's back as a stepping stone to get a little bit better view. And I think that's the wrong way to look at things, but that's typically the practice. So thank you very much for calling in, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sonny. Thank you.
All right, have a good night. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, number is 347-855-8301. That's 347-855-8301. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the radio spots a couple minutes early, so that way you get near exactly the top of the hour. I'm going to do a strafing run on calls and get everybody at least up to 5 minutes approximately, because my dashboard is lighting up pretty good here. And I want to try to make sure get cram in as many calls as possible before I have Richard Gage come on at the bottom of the hour at 10:30 to tell us about an update of his film premieres that are going on various places across the country. He's in New York City as we speak, may actually be there in the streets of New York when we actually contact with him. So we're looking forward to hearing his updates on that as well. Okay, again, number is 347-855-8301, option one. That's 347-855-8301. We're going to go ahead and jump into some radio spots real quick to pay some bills. Come back right after this and get your calls right at the top of the hour, right after about 10:03 or so.
Hi friends, when it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
You're listening to The Sonny Thomas Show with Sonny Thomas. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Einstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
A disarmed nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed? This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rule. That's what true democracy is, it's mob rule.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you gotta be careful who you listen to and whose input you take, and it's all fun and games.
One and only original Gorilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
It's a House of Blues break.
Hey, sometimes it's a whole lot easier listening to the blues than attempting to try to define it. According to blues guitarist Eric Girardi, the blues means so much to so many different people that it's just hard to define exactly what it is that makes this music so appealing.
But some people, it has such a profound effect. I really don't know, but all I know is the first time my dad threw me on my bed and made me listen to Jimmy Reed, and he scratched my Ozzy Osbourne record in the process and said, "Son, time we had a talk. Listen to this." It had a profound effect on me, and I just, whenever I picked up a guitar, that's what would come out. I'd be playing Baby What You Want Me to Do no matter what I wanted to play. It just kept coming out. So let's just not question it, and let's just be happy that it's there, I suppose.
I stare at the TV, and I can't believe my eyes. There's no place to run and no place to go. There's no place left to hide. I can see their faces. I can feel their pain. Our lives will never be the same. So forgive me if I laugh. It's just to hide the tears. Sometimes I wonder if I've wasted all those years for all the things I felt but forgot to say. Would you give me one more day? Sit here and wonder, now what if that were me? If I'd lost my life, left behind my wife and a child that I'd never see. If I could look down on her, how would she explain that daddy had to go away? So forgive me if I smile, it's just to hide my fears. And in a time of dying, how life becomes so clear. They say the good Lord works in such mysterious ways. I just hope it gives me one more day. One more day to look into her eyes, yeah, yeah. One more moment to say goodbye, goodbye.
One more night to feel her touch. Just one more chance so that I can tell her how much I miss her, and tell her I love her. Someone to love me and someone to hold me before I fall from grace. Someone to need me, someone to believe me before I lose my faith. For all the things I meant, but for God's sake, I hope you give me one more day. Forgive me if I laugh, it's just to hide the tears. Sometimes I wonder if I've wasted all those years. For all the things I felt, but forgot to say, I hope it gives me one more day.
All right, that was Bret Michaels from his 2003 solo album, Songs of Life. And that was One More Day, which is his basic tribute to the victims as well as the survivors of 9/11. So Bret Michaels from Poison, man. That's what they can always say about him. He's a diehard American, and he's always still with the troops, and is not afraid to show it, never has been. So kudos to you, Bret Michaels. Also, Bret is coming to the Springboro area here in about 2 weeks. And he's going to be playing at JD Legends. I think it's his second or third time there. So hopefully you'll be able to check out that show as well. Bret has always been one of the coolest rockers I've ever met. He's face value. He's just grateful to play an art, a craft that gives him a living. At the same time, he also stands for many good causes overall. So, okay, so now we're going to get into the thick of it real quick. We're going to go ahead and open the lines up at 347-855-8301. That's 347-855-8301. We're going to talk about 9/11. All theories welcomed, generally speaking, but don't get just too outrageous when you start saying that it was only a 6'6" Arab in a cave who came up with this stuff and everything else. No one could be that willing enough to do that and not have something catch them on. I mean, that's just totally bunk. But let's talk about some of the things that happened that day. Let's talk about Building 7. Let's talk about the plane in Pennsylvania. Let's talk about the Pentagon, how obviously clearly it was not a manned DC-10 that actually hit the damn Pentagon building. It had to be a freaking missile. And where did it hit? The newest part of the naval silo, which had just had another layer added onto it. And just the day before, Don Rumsfeld was saying, we're missing, what was it, $27 billion or so, some outrageous amount of money that was missing out of the defense budget. And that the bean counters all in those offices trying to figure out where the hell it went. And conveniently on that particular day, the plane that was supposed to hit the White House actually ended up hitting the Pentagon in that particular section where the bean counters were counting. Yeah, bullshit. I don't buy that for a second that that was a plane, because there's not enough wreckage there to even make it look like a plane, not even a Cessna. So these are things that you need to start asking yourself, because that was the question that made me question 9/11 when they finally showed the security cam footage from the guard shack. It's clearly obvious that wasn't a plane to hit. The explosion was too small. And then, of course, to see the all the wreckage on the ground, is clearly obvious it was not a passenger airplane. It sure as hell wasn't a full-size one, that's for sure. Okay, again, we're going to be at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to hear from Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers of 9/11 Truth. So ae911truth.org. And he's going to be coming out at the bottom of the hour to spend a short time with us to get an update on his what's going on there in New York City, as well as talk about his new documentary, Anatomy of the Deception. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting hearing his comments on that as well. So definitely want to make sure you're listening to that. Okay, got some calls that have popped up and then dropped off. I'm actually having some technical difficulties. So if you are calling and you're on hold and you don't hear it click over, if you want, go ahead and hang up and call right back, because of the fact that we are trying to figure out some technical issues here that's going on here on Blog Talk. Some of it may be my computer. Some of it is the actual website itself. So that's interesting nevertheless. But let's talk about 9/11. Let's talk about the planes that hit the Pentagon. Let's talk about the planes that hit the Twin Towers. Let's talk about Building 7 that had no plane hit it whatsoever, and it was brought down at a free fall. At a free fall, why? What was in Building 7? Well, you had two things that were going on. You had evidence for the WorldCom scandal that was going on, as well as Enron, and how convenient that those buildings get brought down, all the evidence is in it. What else is in there? Well, you also had Rudy Giuliani's bunker is supposed to be in there. Why would he have it inside a building like that? Beats the hell out of me. You'd think it would be underground, especially hence the term bunker. You know, you hunker in a bunker. You don't, high-rise a bunker. Right? It makes no goddamn sense to me. And not to mention all the police officers that knew in advance that it was coming down, especially they blamed it on a BS fire, when, interesting enough, there were no actual gasoline tanks in the building. There were diesel tanks at various corners of the building. And how a 47-story building was actually said 20 minutes before it happened that it was getting ready to drop. It's pretty obvious that there are shenanigans going on there. And not to mention that some of the survivors of that particular building, conveniently within 6 months to a couple of years afterwards, wound up dead. Interesting enough. Let's also talk about the connection that Marvin Bush, a nephew of President George W. Bush, was the charge of World Trade Security 6 months prior to 9/11. Let's also talk about how conveniently his nanny was killed in a miraculous car crash right in front of the Marvin Bush home within a year or so after the attack. So it's clearly obvious that apparently she overheard some things that wasn't supposed to be heard, and if she was starting to spill the beans, she wound up being a corpse. Now she looks like a cast extra from The Walking Dead. So that's interesting, the stuff that's going on. By the way, I finally started picking up that. I picked up season one of The Walking Dead, and I have to admit, it's a pretty damn good show out there. And it, to me, it's probably one of the better shows I've seen probably since The Sopranos overall. And pretty set up on that too. So definitely want to give a shout out there to a lot of those fans of The Walking Dead, especially some of them afterwards that were really quickly to hurry up and tell me I definitely need to watch season two. If not, they had a copy at the ready for me to do it, and for whatever reason I just didn't pick it up. So thanks for the offer, but I will be buying season two pretty soon myself and sitting down and watching it. I was actually trying to absorb most of the show almost in one night setting and actually fell asleep on it because I was getting pretty tired. So kudos out there to those who are definitely trying to turn me on to a really good and well-written show. Okay, again, 347-855-8301. I'm going to double-check this number here. I actually wonder if this is the lady that had just called. I just want to double-check because I'm going through the top of the list on down, and it goes sometimes by numerical order. Okay, welcome to the St. Thomas Show. Who's this?
This is Gail.
Okay, so you're just listening, correct, Gail?
Yes, that's all I'm doing is listening because I already spoke.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm just doing process of elimination, so just hang on there. We're going to get some good stuff going on. Okay, area code 651, is that what that says? Oh, damn, it just dropped. Well, see, now like this button here is frozen. I've clicked on this thing, and it's not activating that particular call. Let's try the next one. Well, that's doing that shit, too. God, man, I got at least 8 calls here of holders when I get on here, and not, she's the only one that's working. Note to Blog Talk, make sure you fix this. This is not cool, man. Okay. So a couple of films that actually woke me up on 9/11. Again, I saw a lot of Alex Jones' films. I saw 9/11 Road to Tyranny. I've also seen his police state, his martial law 9/11. which I think arguably is actually his best film overall, just because of all the information he covers on that, and just solid. That was back in 2005. That was a pretty good film in his own right, and some really good information on it that even 6 months, even 6 years after I bought it and sat down and watched it again, there's some information on there that I've forgotten about or was able to absorb because I understood exactly what he was talking about and I already caught it. So I'm appreciative he puts out these documentary films. Oh shoot, there he was. Okay, that's the number, 516. That's the number I was looking for. All right, I'm going to try this one more time, and hopefully this damn thing works. Real quick, Loose Change, the full version, is definitely worth the viewing if you don't fall asleep, and also watch the bonus features that are featured on that film as well. Blueprint for Truth by Richard Gage is a film that pretty much sealed the deal for me on believing that 9/11 is definitely an inside job, because he clearly showed through the scientific method of logic, obviously, that it had to be complete controlled demolition. And if it's complete controlled demolition, then obviously it was an inside job because someone set it up. So it's definitely something to look into in its own right. So, okay, area code 516, I think it's working now. Welcome to the St. Thomas Show. Are you there?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Oh, great, it worked, dude. Rock on. Okay, yeah, because I'm having some issues with the software sometimes. It seems like certain times of the night the buttons don't work, and other times they work great. So what's on your mind, brother?
Hey, you know, two things. I was going to mention that I'm not sure if you mentioned it. I don't think you did, but starting today through mid-October, I believe October 23rd, actually, around there, engineers and architects for 9/11, it's a group of about 3,000 engineers and architects that have debunked the whole theory that was the narrative given out on Building 7 and how that collapsed. They have a digitized billboard smack in the middle of Times Square right now going on, basically stating Rethink 9/11 Building 7. It's outrageous. You never thought.
Well, are you there by chance?
Like, I'm not there right now. No, I plan on going in about a week. But I was at the 9/11 memorial. I had spoken on a couple of shows recently. About 3 weeks ago, I brought my family in there. And I'll say this: if you're awake and you walk through there, you'll leave there. Not only will you leave there pissed, but you'll leave there understanding one thing, that whole thing that was set up, by the way, it's run by Bloomberg, and you know obviously what his agenda is. That whole thing is set up, it's all set up to keep the narrative alive. You walk through there, it's just, for most people, it's an emotional experience. You go from one room to the next. It's almost a buildup of emotions, and you get to, experience, television sets, and all you see is planes going into the buildings, people screaming, people being interviewed, and as you walk through these rooms, you start getting toward the Al-Qaeda room. So now, here's Al-Qaeda, which is, the main part of that narrative. You cannot find one snippet, you can't find anything about Building 7 in there whatsoever unless you look for it or ask somebody. And the only thing they have regarding Building 7 is a kiosk in the corner, small kiosk, and in the kiosk you actually have to look for it because there's a whole bunch of different things within that kiosk. It's a 2-minute presentation, I think it was put out by Purdue University, claiming that Building 7 fell, or the main reason was because when the two towers fell before it, there was breakage in the water pipes below the ground, and there was enough water that was let out that weakened the ground that enabled it to fall. It is the most unbelievable.
God, that is the biggest BS I've ever heard, man.
Exactly. And then, then of course you leave the building, and this is after you paid your $24 to get in there. You leave the building
Wow, is it that much?
Oh, yeah. Now, that was supposed to be free, of course, in the beginning, but, of course, they're going to charge people. It's $24 to get in there. And you leave that building, and the first thing you see is the new buildings that have come up, and every one of them, all you see is Silverstein Properties, And I'll tell you what, there was also another, I don't know if you're aware of Brass Check TV, but today on BrassCheckTV.com, they put out a great little 9-minute documentary called 9/11 Disappearing Explosions. And what it is the minutes after the initial attacks, and the reporters are on the scene, and they're interviewing people. And you won't see this in the mainstream media, but to everybody they interviewed within this nine-minute mini-documentary is telling it like it is, exactly what they saw, exactly what they heard, and every single one of them heard multiple explosions. Some are even explaining how there was an explosion going off almost every 10 minutes until the building came down. You have Larry Silverstein being interviewed, you know, that famous interview where he says, well, you know, after a while we just decided to pull it. Okay, now, when you pull a building, you have to be prepared to pull a building. How do you pull a building unless you're already prepared? If you decide to pull a building, well, then that's when you have to go out and you have to get your contractors, your demolition crews, and everybody else. You have to set your explosives. And the amount of time that takes, weeks, months, or whatever, well, it must have taken weeks and months before that for them to set that up, because that thing was all geared and ready to go. And we know that. And we're pretty sure the fire here.
And it was free fall drop, too.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, incredible. BBC, the female reporter on BBC reporting live that Building 7 collapsed, like 20 minutes before it collapsed, and you could actually see the building behind her as she's telling you that it already collapsed. The narrative was put out there, you know, more. I'll say it over and over again, you know, 13 years later, what we got now is a lot more awake people, and the narrative, I think, is just dying year by year now, so.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely disgusting that, first of all, why they're even charging a fee for that, because of the fact that that should be a completely, especially if you're a New York resident, especially in Manhattan. If you're a New York resident, that should be automatically free to the public, because of the fact that should be a memorial for the people of New York, especially New York City. Now, obviously, other people coming in should probably could pay, because there are costs. But at the same time, I don't think anyone from New York City, especially if they have a New York driver's license, should have to pay to get in there, man, because that happened in your backyard, dude. Now, that's adding insult to injury, if you ask me.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, another, you know, telltale sign is that today, the 9/11 memorial, you know, every year when they have this on 9/11, where they have the, memorial, you know, where they ring the bell and they call out the names and do what they do, that also is run by Bloomberg's group as well. There was one group that's left out of there every year, and that's the first responders. They're not invited to that. They're not invited to
that. That is totally unacceptable.
Right.
That would be like telling veterans that they can't, that actually were at Pearl Harbor, that you can't go to Pearl Harbor, for Christ's sake.
Right, exactly. You can't see if you exactly what it is. But, you know, there's a reason for that, obviously, because they're questioning. Not only are they questioning the narrative, but they were there, you know, and and they heard what they heard, and they don't want that being, you know, shown. They don't want people talking to the reporters. And the reporters are, you know, pretty much told not to speak to these people, because we know that they're Zionist-controlled, you know, media outlets. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to go against the narrative, basically.
And see, that's one of the things I've brought up many times on my show before, is the fact that there's not really fathomed to people that there are six Jewish families that run almost all the media in this country. And can you imagine the outrage if it was six Italian families? Then everyone would assume it was the mob that was running the media. I mean, what if it was, let's go to flip it on the other side. What if there was six German families that were running all the media in Israel? You don't think there'd be some serious neo-Nazi type of connection there that they'd be accused of being? I mean, give me a break. Why is it that anytime there's any type of Jewish supremacy there, if there's anything about it, the ADL comes after your ass? You know, I mean, it's complete BS, man. I mean, any group, any one particular group that has control of a major media outlet like that should be questioned. And not to mention, this is the reason why we need to break up this stuff. That's why the antitrust laws were made back in the early 20th century, to break up some of these monopolies. In a particular place, you have a small oligarchy that runs all the media in this country. It is pretty obvious what's going on here. And then you do have the independent media, such as like an InfoWars, a WorldNet Daily, or CFCC.org or something like that, putting out stories that actually really matter. These are things that you have to start questioning. And again, like I brought up with my guest that's going to be coming here in a couple of weeks, is the fact that why is it that the left is saber-rattling to go into Sudan But yet when it comes to white genocide in South Africa, there's nothing but crickets. Oh, is it because they're an ally of the United States and we don't partake in any business? What about this crap that happened in Rotherham with all these the Muslim attacks that are going on the white girls up there? Well, we won't talk about that because that's Britain's business. Well, I don't give a damn whose business it is, dude. It's an issue, and it should be brought up. They're more worried about saber-rattling what the hell Putin's doing instead of worrying about what the hell's going on in their own freaking country's backyards, brother.
Well, you know, we had a great conversation on this very radio program last night with Austin, and basically, I mean, you know, it all comes down to the petrodollar. And
it does.
Know, the reason why we're there, and it's really what it comes down
to. That's why Gaddafi was killed.
Well,
that's why Gaddafi
was
killed, because he was in the process of actually uniting Africa, getting behind a gold standard type of thing, and actually wanting to unite using the Afro, that was the name of the monetary system, I do believe, a special SDR. At the same time, basically having a loose coalition of nations there in Africa to look out for each other. We just saw that in, was it 2012? South America essentially has a South American Union through fiat via economic and military agreements that have basically a nation in South America were to be attacked, such as Peru, Colombia, or Chile, that basically the other countries stand up and back up with them. So they essentially got a South American Union already in place by fiat.
Right. Well, you know, the history of that whole area, and we spoke about this last time as well, in 73, Nixon sent over Kissinger to basically solidify the deal. And basically what it was that, you know, we would extrapolate the oil from that region. The Saudis would buy the oil from us with the money that the surplus that they had. They would buy our treasuries. It was a great system.
Yes.
The dollar was never stronger in this country. I guess it was 1975, all the OPEC nations were on board. But now coming into the year 2000, you had Saddam Hussein, who was now in talks with the European Union to start trading oil in euros. Hey, why Saddam Hussein's not there anymore? You have, I mean,
right.
It's not just them either. You know, you have Libya, you have Lebanon, you have even Egypt. Why did they take Berlusconi out in Italy? Because Berlusconi was, you know, in cahoots with Saddam Hussein, so they had to get him out of the way. The web just reaches all over, and once you destabilize all those regions, which we've left in such disarray right now, they also had no central banks. So now you have the Rothschild banks, you know, setting up shop in all of those countries as well. You know, so this is, we know why that is happening. I'll bring up one other thing. You know, for whatever reason it was written, for whoever wrote it, and, you know, it was over 100 years ago, and I don't know if you're aware of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, but you talk about a playbook. You go to chapter 12 in the Elders of Zion, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and they talk about exactly what you brought up just moments ago with the media. And I'll quote just one snippet of it where they say, not a single announcement will reach the public without our control. Even now, this is already being attained by inasmuch as all the news items are received by just a few agencies. Didn't you just say that a few minutes ago? Okay, in whose offices they are focused from all parts of the world, these agencies will then be already entirely ours and give publicly only to what we dictate to them. Okay?
Yes.
In order for our newspaper militia in this sense, we must take special and minute care in organizing this matter. Under the title of Central Department of the Press, we shall institute literary gatherings in which we will give out watchwords of the day. Now, how many times have you watched the five or six major news, you know, outlets here in the United States where the same watchwords of the day are given out on every single report? I mean, you could tape every one of those shows, and every single one of those anchors are saying the same exact thing. You know?
Right, definitely.
So,
well, let me finish up with this real quick, and I got to bring Richard Gage on. Before the September 11th attacks, there were 7 central banks in the world not owned by the Rothschilds. 9/11 gave reason to invade the Middle East. By 2003, Iraq and Afghanistan had established Rothschild-owned central banks. By 2011, Sudan and Libya were also marked off the banksters' list. The 3 countries left are North Korea, Cuba, and Iran. Starting to make sense? So that's definitely something to look into, and I appreciate your call in tonight, brother.
Oh, thank you very much, and I'm going to sit here and listen.
All right, thank you. Yeah, definitely keep listening, and if you want to call back in a little bit later on and like to maybe converse with you a little bit more, you definitely seem to got a hold of things. If anyone get a picture of that billboard down there in New York City on Broadway, definitely check that out, because of the fact that that's definitely was something to see, and we'll post it immediately here on my Facebook page, and everybody could check it out. Okay, I'm in the process of going ahead and getting everything set up here with Richard, so putting in the information now. Again, my number here is 347-855-8301. Here in a minute, we're going to bring on Richard Gage, and he's going to give us an update on what's happened there in New York City, and also his new documentary film as well. So we're...
Hi, this is Richard Gage.
Hi, Richard. This is Sonny Thomas from the Sonny Thomas Show.
Well, hi, Sonny. How are you?
Not too bad, my friend. It's been a few years since I've seen you. I actually met you there at the Liberty Fest 2 in New York City on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 at the Liberty Fest symposium. That was really awesome, man. I really enjoyed your speech, and it was actually very pleasurable to actually meet you in person.
Well, thank you. I'm coming back in October for the next Liberty Fest here in New York.
That's awesome, man. I'm going to have to go check that
out. Are you going
to
be there? Are you going to be there?
I may seriously look into that. Yeah, I may look into that.
Cool.
And,
yeah, they want me to do a longer presentation next year.
Awesome. So tell us about what all you're doing here in New York right now. I guess you're doing screenings for your new documentary?
Yeah, very exciting. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Very informal. I appreciate these informal interviews. Indeed, we have been all day at it here in New York. We started at Ground Zero. We had our press conference at 11 o'clock after handing out flyers to passersby. We let the New York media, those who came, which was few and far between, there was a third tower that fell down on 9/11, actually was destroyed, shattered from top, well, from bottom to top in under 7 seconds. The entire building, number 7, not having been hit by a plane, 47-story skyscraper, straight down uniformly, suddenly, and at free fall acceleration, straight down into its own footprint. And I just love telling people about this, because those who are unaware of it, which is most architects and engineers, know nothing about the third worst structural failure in modern history. It's astounding. Then they're going, well, oh my God, that's obviously a controlled demolition. Well, we told them in the press conference, yeah, but did you know that the official story from NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, claims that this building came down due to normal office fires? And then they look aghast and they say, oh my God, you mean we've been lied to? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we then talk about the Twin Towers. So that's the way the press conference went. And we also announced that we did indeed have a premiere screening of the new film, Anatomy of a Great Deception. And this is David Hooper's new film. He came across our DVD, and it turned his life upside down, and he was losing friends left and right because they just didn't want to hear it. But the deeper he got into it, the more real it became. And he, to save his marriage, he made this film. And so he walks people through the evidence, takes them by the hand. It's really quite incredible. All of a sudden people are listening to him. It's working.
Well, I have to say your films have been very influential. We've also been playing them on cable access here in the Dayton, Ohio area, which covers the entire southwest Ohio area on Time Warner Digital Channel 991. So I think we've definitely woken up a lot of people. And for me, your film sealed the deal about definitely looking into 9/11 for what it is and not believing the narrative, because the fact that listening to Alex Jones and hearing his information, watching Loose Change, but your film clearly succinctly shows that obviously that there was actually other forces at work here besides two planes that supposedly wrecked all this havoc.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the two planes didn't bring down three buildings. Well, they say they did with the fires and all regarding the third building. But when we have the attention of people about Building 7, which they intuitively understand that, of course, this is a controlled demolition, at that point, they start listening to the evidence for the Twin Towers, where, for instance, you know, we're told that the upper portion of the North Tower drove the rest of the building down to the ground and at free fall acceleration almost. Of course, that's not what happens. The upper part of the building is destroyed. It's shattered. It's basically liquefied in the first 4 seconds, kind of like Building 7. It just drops, and there's no movement downward on the rest of the intact building below until it's completely destroyed. And then, just like the first responders here, hundreds of them, talk about explosions, seeing flashes of light at the onset of the destruction of these towers. Then we have ejected out of the building at 60 miles an hour laterally, 4-ton perimeter structural steel wall sections landing 600 mm-hmm. feet in every direction. So we have no floors found at the base of either tower. We're talking 110 floors in each of these buildings. 90,000 tons of concrete pulverized to a fine powder in midair. This is incredible. You know, not when it crashes on the ground. And with these ejections going off below this, up to 40 and 60 stories below, these isolated explosive ejections occurring at 160 miles an hour. They're actually clocked by physicists. These are propelled by explosives. So all of this, of course, is evidence of explosive-controlled demolition. And, in fact, there are what we now know is in evidence of incendiaries in the basements of the Twin Towers. The first responders described hot, like lava, hot steel flowing. In fact, the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, Leslie Robertson, says a little river of steel flowing. And, in fact, molten iron is pouring out of the South Tower just minutes prior to the collapse of that building. And there's iron, molten iron droplets found in all the World Trade Center dust. These iron microspheres, previously molten spheres of iron, elemental iron. Well, where does that come from? It's not the iron from steel, it's elemental iron. Well, that is the byproduct of thermite, which is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And so we also have the evidence of unignited incendiaries in the World Trade Center dust found by a team of scientists. And that's incredible because this stuff is very, very advanced. It's made only in the most sophisticated Defense Department contracting laboratories called nanothermite with particles smaller than a human hair. The 1,000 times smaller than a human hair. Very, very sophisticated material, not made in a cave in Afghanistan. So you can see why we attract the attention of so many architects and engineers, 2,250 at this point.
I think that says a lot. It's pretty. That speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. People are willing to put their reputations and on the line.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, Richard. If I remember correctly, wasn't the Twin Towers designed to essentially be the main structure is essentially like a giant steel mesh, kind of like a screen multiple times over because that way it was originally designed to take a double impact from a 727, which was what, the largest plane at the time?
707, yeah, traveling 600 miles an hour is, yeah, is what the boss of Leslie Robertson, who actually was the engineer of record on the World Trade Center towers. This is we're talking 14-inch box columns every, I think it's 3 feet, 4 inches, or all the way around the building. Incredible, dense exoskeleton this building was. That allowed for long span beams, 35 feet to 60 feet long, with wide open spaces inside these buildings so that the planners didn't have to deal with a forest of columns, which was fairly typical prior to the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you would think if that is the main structure and then you got the actual, there is like a centralized core in the middle, and essentially, right?
Yeah, 47 core columns. At the bottom, they're 52 inches by 22 inches, almost solid steel. And then thinning to 2 inches at mid-height, 16 inches by 30 inches overall. And then the lightest part of the structure is up at the top, only 3/8 to half-inch thick wide flange or I-beam type columns. So, which raises the point, why did the lightest part of the structure, theoretically, destroy the heaviest intact cold hard steel below? That just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. You know, it's just impossible. Where if you run a Volkswagen into a Mack truck, you know, who's going to win that battle? Well, the Mack truck.
Right.
Well, what if you turn the Mack truck vertically, put the Volkswagen above it, drop the Volkswagen head on into the Mack truck, who's going to win? Same situation. The more massive structure is going to win. So the upper part, which is lightest, can't possibly destroy the lower part. And yet this is what they have us believe, that the laws of physics were suspended on that day. That's incredible.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a thing to look at, essentially. Generally speaking, have you actually looked into the structural damage of the Pentagon itself? Because they, from my recollection, they just finished the outside skin of another layer on the Pentagon 6 months prior to 9/11, I think it was, or 9 months or something like that. And obviously, if a plane would have hit that, which is supposed to be this most, what, secure building in the world, I still kind of hard to believe that it would have that much damage. I mean, from an architect's and engineer's point of view, have you guys looked at the Pentagon at all to see if that story is even viable at all?
Well, many of us have started to look into it, and it's—I can tell you this: there's so much misinformation out there and disinformation. The 9/11 Truth Movement itself is fighting over the information, the evidence, what it means. What we all agree on, though, is that there nothing should have hit the Pentagon. This is the most highly defended building in the world, outfitted with anti-aircraft missiles. And it's certainly outfitted with very high-res cameras that should have recorded exactly what did or didn't hit the Pentagon. So the fact that those haven't been released, and then instead we get these five frames from this low-res camera across the way that doesn't show anything, and we're told that's supposed to be a plane. All of it is indicative of a massive cover-up with all four of these planes, actually, including Shanksville as well.
Yeah, so there's definitely no Zapruder film of really what happened on the Pentagon, at least that we can see at this point, that's for sure.
What about the Zapruder film? Are you saying there is one, or is
Well, I was just doing a comparison because Zapruder clearly showed that obviously what happened that day, and as much as people try to construe it, I mean, you can't debate the video evidence that was recorded that day. So it's pretty obvious that if we were to see the footage of those cams all around the Pentagon, it definitely would paint an entirely different picture of what happened that day in D.C.
Absolutely. It sure would. And,
but they haven't released
So obviously the best website to follow you on is ae911truth.org, correct?
Yes, and our DVD at ae911truth.org is called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. And this latest film that we're talking about with Anatomy of a Great Deception, David Hooper's film, is also available for sale on our website as well.
Well, one of the best things I loved about your original film was the fact that you had three separate versions. You had the full-length version, you had a medium-length, and a real quick short version to really accent the highlights of the program, because either, A, people didn't have time to watch the whole film, or just to really get them hooked to want to see the whole program. I really appreciate you making those different versions because of the fact that some way, somehow, someone will see a version of one of those time lengths and really start asking questions. So thank you again, sir, for putting those out.
Oh, thank you, Sonny. It's pretty special to have that kind of feedback because it took us a long time to make all those cuts, and it was very painful. What do you cut out of a 2-hour film to make a 1-hour film? It is hard. And then to do that for a 30-minute film, and then to do that for a 15 or 10-minute film, that we're talking about 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, the Architecture of Destruction. Our first film that came out in 2008, and it is the staple. I mean, I lay out the evidence from beginning to end at the World Trade Center.
Well, like I said, it definitely sealed the deal for me because I start asking hard questions, because the other films definitely got my interest as the who and why, but the how is what your film essentially covers. And obviously, through the basic scientific theory, if all this smoke is around, there must be fire. I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, from beginning to end.
Excellent.
I mean, all the way to the illegal destruction of evidence, the cover-up with the NIST reports, which are fraudulent, confusing air traffic controllers across the country with fake blips on their radar, telling them it's a drill, a hijacking drill, which coincidentally happened in the morning of 9/11. The Vigilant Guardian drills that sent our aircraft to the north and south, leaving the central eastern corridor unprotected. It's all a massive deception, and I can't believe more Americans aren't just immediately aware of it.
Yeah, because you can imagine during Reagan's time, that never would have happened. I mean, every plane would have been in the sky at that particular point if Reagan was in office, that's for sure.
Unless they were executing their own 9/11 at the time.
Kind of like Star Wars, execute Order 66.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. I cut you off there for a second. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No, I said I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, looks like we definitely have you for a longer interview next week. And
good.
Very much looking forward to hear more details about your new film and also the reception that you're receiving, because I do believe you have several showings across the country, correct?
Yes, indeed, and that's not our film, but David Hooper's film, which was inspired by our work, and of course we're supporting it. Now, tomorrow we're all going to be marching here in New York right out in front of this billboard. It's 89 feet wide, wrapping around the corner of 42nd and 8th Avenue, and it's very exciting. We show Building 7 going down. We say, controlled demolition. What do you think, you know, for 2,200 architects and engineers calling for a new investigation? Very, very special. We're excited about it. It'll be up for a month. We raised $25,000 to get it up in the air, and that's happening
Wow.
tomorrow. Then we have a conference on Saturday at 2 p.m. at Theater 80 in New York, and we will have Mark Crispin Miller, a progressive journalist and author, who's now come out in favor of 9/11 truth. Wayne Mattson, a former NSA analyst, myself, I'll be giving out the evidence for the explosive demolition of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers. Several family members and 9/11 survivors will be there as well. Very exciting day tomorrow. Saturday.
Yeah, that is definitely. Hopefully someone's going to film that whole whole symposium next. I'll tell you, that would be definitely a sight to see for sure.
Yeah, I think it's live streamed as well.
One last question Richard.
People can tune in to ae911truth.org and then click on the live stream site and see the whole conference from home.
Okay. One last question to ask you. We've seen that some documentary filmmakers are sometimes either having a hard time raising any type of advertising on major networks, or some theaters are afraid to carry the film because they're afraid of the backlash. If it's criticizing the government in any way, shape, or form, yours obviously shows clearly not pointing a finger, but just showing obviously cause and effect type of thing. Obviously, if the apple fell from the tree, gravity caused it, and you're basically showing that obviously A equals B without actually alluding that someone else cut the apple from the tree. So my question is this: have you had any type of backlash with the viewings of your films at all?
No, I haven't gotten any phone calls or strange meetings or anything. So I'm delighted.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
But I've been told to watch
my back. That probably shows people are finally starting to accept the truth, and because it's coming out. I mean, it's rearing its head. It's going to come out eventually. And I want to really praise your work, sir, because you obviously, just like our founding fathers, put everything on the line to clearly show that something is wrong here, and that obviously that all the evidence is in plain view. So again, kudos, sir. I tip the hat off to you for your hard and continuous work.
Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate that very much. We are working hard, and we will not stop until we have a real investigation that's unimpeachable and that looks at all the evidence and uses a scientific method to review it, offers an immunity to bring forth witnesses and takes that testimony under oath. That's the kind of investigation we need. And until we get it, you'll be hearing me on the radio.
Definitely. Thank you very much, sir. We're looking forward to your longer interview next week. Again, we want to hear the feedback from your films as well as the reception to your presentation that you're going to do tomorrow. And definitely look forward for the update to let us know just obviously how people receive, because I guarantee it's coming all in the positive.
Very good. Thank you so much, Sonny.
All right, thank you. Talk to you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, there he goes. That's Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And, again, you go to ae911truth.org. And you could definitely want to pick up the videos from that website, because that's one of the things that helps fund that organization as well as help produce more quality programming on the topic and show conclusive evidence that clearly that 9/11 had to be an inside job, because obviously the proof is in the pudding. We'll obviously question that stuff, just generally questioning, not even saying that the government generally had something to do with it, but obviously someone had something to do with it because of the fact that it's just too orchestrated. There's just no way in hell that that particular thing would have happened and it'd not be pretty obvious. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a situation. Okay, we got 7 minutes before the top of the hour before we go into overdrive here onto the third hour. If you want to get in, it's 347-855-8301. That's 347-855-8301, option one. And we are definitely going to be taking callers here. I want to hear your thoughts on what happened on 9/11, as well as your general theory on what the hell happened that day, and also clearly, obviously, what people had seen or even just succinctly put together just by looking at the basic evidence, looking at the various films, listen to the eyewitness accounts, listen to the false testimonies of government officials, whether they were there or not. For example, if they were actually part of the New York government, like Mayor Giuliani or Governor Pataki, for example, or at the same time, what was going on in Washington. You know, there's a lot of things that were going on that particular day, that chaos and confusion was merely a diversion for subversion of the American people's government by the government. So these are things we need to start seriously asking. And also some of the video footage they took of the Middle East of people dancing and singing in the streets because that shit happened, those were actually found to be debunked and found out that it wasn't because of that. That was actually film footage from a different event and made it look like that everyone was all happy that the building's falling down. I mean, really. I mean, it's just totally disgusting, man. And, of course, in England you had 7/7 bombings where buses blown up there in England where basically it looked like there were shenanigans going on there as well, and that the supposed bomber didn't even realize he had a bomb in his case, and then when I finally caught up with the damn kid, they didn't try to arrest them or do anything. They just literally executed him, man. The Viper teams there executed this kid. I mean, I think it's totally set up, or he was a paid CIA lackey who was only told information A. He wasn't told about B, C, D, or E. So the next thing he goes, oh, what the hell's going on here? And he's running for his life, just like the Boston bombing. The Zarnab brothers basically found out that they obviously didn't have a full clue what the hell was going on. They silenced the one brother pretty damn quick, and the other one, they made sure he couldn't talk, literally. So, I mean, it's something to really start be questioning, because things just don't add up. There's something seriously wrong here. There's something seriously freaking wrong. And I think we need to start looking into this for what it is and realize that the Patriot Act is essentially our enabling act, and all these other egregious acts that these absolutely traitorous members in Congress have passed, such as the National Defense Authorization Act and the other acts that they put out, have basically essentially blacked out certain amendments in the Bill of Rights to make damn sure that we lose those rights, and it's coming. I wasn't expecting a Hitler Germany, per se, at this particular point, but definitely it's more like Mussolini's fascist Italy. You know, that's another thing that bothers me, too. Whenever they talk about World War II and things led up to it, they never, ever really go into much detail about how some of these groups came to power, which eventually brought us into a major world war. They don't really talk too much about Hitler rising up and basically going to monitor what the German Workers' Party was doing. We basically told them they're basically full of crap on a particular issue, and then end up joining them and leaving them. And then also they don't talk about how Mussolini rose to prominence, started a socialist newspaper, and really started raising some hell, and then became El Duce. There's a basic film on this that Antonio Banderas did in 1993 called, I think it's called Mussolini, The Rise and Fall of Mussolini, something like that. But it's Antonio Banderas. It's damn near 3 hours long, and really it shows you the rise of Mussolini and before he became the supreme leader of that country, and doesn't really elaborate anything afterwards. Doesn't show you the stuff he did or anything else, and eventually his ousting and his fall, and then him and his mistress and wife all turning into piñatas there in Rome. I think it's pretty obvious what the hell was going on from the beginning. So these are things that we definitely look into. Okay, callers, 347-855-8301, all theories welcome. I'm going to harp and put you on hold here for a minute or so while I do a quick track leading into the next hour. So all my callers, please hang on, and we will bring you in on the post-recorded third hour, and you'll be able to download this after midnight Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to play another track here real quick. This is Broadzilla Burn Baby Burn, or a chick power trio chick band from Detroit featuring Rachel May, who I've had on my show here before. And again, this is from the album I just got the thing working here. Bradzilla, Burn Baby Burn, and stay on right after the break. BlogTalkRadio.com/truthemerges, and you're listening to the Sonny Thomas Show. We're on the third hour of the program, and so I'm going to get some more callers here to talk more about the 9/11 situation and everything else, but sometimes either they hear our prompts and they say, oh, well, that's it, they can't get back in. But again, I reiterate, if you stay online before the end of that last hour, you will be in queue, and I'll be able to bring you on. So we're going to go ahead and switch gears since we covered a lot of 9/11 details, because like you said, I don't like to relive that day over and over again on this particular day. Yeah, it's good to reflect on it for a moment or two. We don't need to keep on living on it and rehashing the details unless we're trying to expose the crime that it is and who the hell is behind it. Just like we need to find out who really killed our president, John F. Kennedy, because of the fact that he was the last real president we've had in the White House. Because he remembered his oath to the Constitution, because he was a veteran. He was also a wounded veteran. And basically he knew he had a duty to serve our republic. That's for sure. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and cover some other details here. I have the second video that I recorded at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference in Nashville a couple weeks ago. This particular topic was on media bias, especially of liberals against conservatives. And so I just thought I'd bring this up on this particular thing here. Let's talk about the topic of liberal-based media, especially against conservatives, libertarians, and constitutionalists. I cite the B.S. Huffington Post assault against me merely because I unfurled the Third National Confederate flag at a school board meet as I protested the cancellation and disinformation of the Institute on the Constitution classes that were being offered at the school per the school board. And also as a shout out there, probably am wearing my Scotland Rising T-shirt from store.scotlandrising.com. As a matter of fact, if you're on the video feed here, I'm wearing that now. And one of the shirts that I have from that really great website. And hopefully by next week, Scotland will be a free nation, but unfortunately won't be an independent nation because as soon as they slip off the chains of Great Britain, they're going to slip on the collar of the EU. So basically going serving from one master to another and weakening a union that obviously could have been sustained. But if they were going to go and do that shit, they should have just went ahead and stayed on air. And it was a Broadzilla song is Burn Baby Burn from their album Lady Luck. And it's hard to find an actual website for them, generally speaking, but you could definitely go and do a general search on Facebook for Broadzilla. And Amazon, I do believe, does carry it as well as CD Baby. So something to look into for sure. Here is my speech from the CFCC National Conference on the second day of the event. And here is the speech from that particular topic. Okay. There we go.
Like you said, I'm Cy Thomas from the great sovereign state of Ohio, and I consider myself a Buckeye first. I ain't no damn Yankee. I can tell you that. All the Yankees are northeast of the United States, and I heard the late Senator Barry Goldwater sell that part of the country's off and left this one out of the city. I think he had the right idea. But a couple different things. We're talking about the media and how to deal with them. I've had direct situations where I've actually been totally misinterpreted, and thankfully I've had other local media come back in and try to follow up with me so that way I can clarify any misstatements that the media said. I have to say one inspiration to me is Jim Trafficant from the great southern state of Ohio. I'm actually working on him right now. He's actually at a new freedom project he's working on, which is kind of like the fair tax, but taken to a higher level. He wants me to help work with them on it in southeast Ohio areas. So as soon as they get more information, absorb all the details, they'll be able to understand and then go ahead on just like everything else. But we had a couple things happen in the spring earlier, which really put us on the map. In 2010, we elected Kelly Coles to the school board. She was a staunch conservative, fiscal and social anyways. And when she got there, she started asking questions because we had a $20 million deficit in the school system, looking at pay-to-play for our sports. They kept pushing through school levies, which kept saying no, 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 no. A friend of mine, matter of fact, who's retired and a widow, one more school levy would have taxed her right out of her home. That's how much of a situation it could be for any one of us in this room. The city school levies are just dodging on the head and say, oh, if we don't get these buses going, then they won't be able to go to school. And I'm like, well, you know, if you build the sidewalks to actually lead it to the damn building, half the kids can walk to school like I did. You know, I walked a mile and a half to school every day. I didn't have my brother on my back with barefoot in the snow like always in the stories are. But nevertheless, I used to live in East Dayton when it was still a nice neighborhood. But so we got a good conservative majority on the school board, and we really started asking some questions. One of the things that happened before I had my infamous flag incident was they were talking about creationism in the schools. Now, I'm totally against that personally because it's just asinine, in my opinion, because there's too many facts that show to the contrary. But the purpose of bringing it up was when you're in science class and you want to talk about different theories on how things came to be, you should look at every different group's opinions on how they think things came to be. In other words, if you have more options of how decisions are made, you have more to call from, and the truth is dead set in the middle somewhere. And but we know if you only have two points of opinion, that's a duopoly. If you have one point of opinion in schools, it's called indoctrination. So I have no problem with creationism at least being looked at as this is what Christians think, this is what Buddhists think, this is what the Mayans thought, and this is what scientists think today. Put all that out there, let the kids do the research, and they'll find out the answers on their own. So upon that, there was a course that was coming through that a school board approved initially to have on the school grounds, which is the Institute of the Constitution. Well, the Institute of the Constitution is a very good class, and it was actually taught by Michael Petrucca, who is a member of the League of the South. Well, interesting enough, they have this type of diversion tactic where they want to basically write the basic letter. I forget the guy's name, but not Witherspoon or something, but it's a type of individual. They say they're doing this to you know what to expect. And so this lady, who, by the way, happens to be an Indian woman, I guess married to a Scotch-Irishman by the name of McClellan, goes and starts on this rant in her letter that apparently that this is that had religious undertones and was Tea Party leaning. So reading the original founding documents and taking in the original intent in which they were written is now religious undertones and Tea Party leaning? That's something of a really good analogy. If anyone's into the Beatles, well, if you like the Beatles, you better go back and listen to 50s rock and roll, because if not, you can't appreciate the Beatles. It's like talking about President Reagan and never talking about his governorship of California, nor his Screen Actor Guild's presidentialship in Hollywood. You can't appreciate what made the man. So you have to follow it from start to finish. You can't just say, oh, you know, this time I have Catholics. They never want to talk about Jesus when he's a child. They talk about his birth and one miracle, and that's it. They never want to talk about the clay pigeon or anything else because, in fact, it wants the private life of Jesus. Well, how am I supposed to really appreciate this man if I don't know the full scope of his life, what made him who he was, and why he's revered as a teacher today? So there's definitely misteachings there. But this particular thing that they had was that they shred this letter, and WLWT in Cincinnati had actually done a report on this. There was a gentleman in Mason, Ohio, by the name of Randy Klein, who actually took and wrote a rebuttal letter to her letter, brought all these really great talking points and just pointed out every fallacy that was wrong in her letter. So I took talking points from her letter, I took talking points from his, and I had my own comment and took some historical stuff, and we only had 3 minutes on the school board to talk about it. So once I took all that, I said, all right, this is how it is. And then we kept getting interrupted because there was a very contentious school teacher's contract that needed to be finished, and they had started protesting on this thing about the community. So they had like 60 people come in the room, all red shirts. And where I come from, it looked like Red Shirt Day at Kings Island. That means it's gay day. And our school color is navy blue. So it's like, well, what the hell's Red Shirt Day at Kings Island? Yeah, what the hell, you know? It's just collisions and kind of undertones of what this group was doing to try to force the school board to put this contract through. So I kept getting interrupted every minute or so, or every few seconds, and only had 3 minutes. So I brought the fallacies of her stuff. I tried to bring up Randy Klein's thing, and I tried to bring up some historical stuff. And I said, frankly, she's married to a Scotch-Irishman, McClellan. Let's look at the McClellan name, shall we? I said he was a former commander of the Union forces initially until he got booted off because he always prepared. He never acted. He just stood around. McClellan Air Force Base is actually named after a famous aviator. You've also got McClellan, Texas. So I said, brought all this up. I said, did I remind you that the average name in the South is Scotch, Scotch-Irish, Irish, Dutch, or Welsh? So basically I said, ma'am, quite frankly, you're insulting any one of these type of names that are from the South with your verbiage. Okay? And then I ask a simple question afterwards. I have a girl bring up the third national Confederate flag, mind you. And I ask my best Southern dialect, and I said, does this offend you? And this lady jumped and said, yes, it does. That's because you're a fucking idiot, because you don't understand history. And I said, quite frankly, to people of the South, this is heritage, not hate. And they took this thing and ran through that. I said, this is your heritage. This is your heritage. I'm like, I never said it at all. It's just complete bogus bunk. And the only thing that they did on the news mention was that I didn't throw a Confederate flag. That's all they wrote. Next thing you know, Huffington Post takes this story, and they run rampant with it. What they did was they took every left-wing group they could get their hands on in the area and whatnot, take their comments, sew the story together, which is a complete hodgepodge of past facts, and then attack me with it. But luckily, Cincinnati Inquirer, which CCC put on their website, did a really great interview with me afterwards. And by the way, I had actually recorded the whole incident on HD, so when you wanted to attack me, I said, really? I've got it on video, if you'd like to watch it again. And I started getting crickets in the room. So I definitely agree to have some sort of pocket recorder or something to use as a rebuttal. One thing I learned from Alex Jones is that whenever the feds came in to investigate him when he was doing the Obama deception, he always records every interview. So if they try to take my context, he's got the whole interview to say, hey, shut up. You know what I mean? And that's the way to do it. So he basically asked, well, why did you do that? I said, look, one of the things that brought up was I made a comment that said blacks should be thankful they're in the United States as opposed to black countries where there's genocide. Look at Rwanda. You know, Don Cheadle did a great film on Hotel Rwanda on the atrocities that happened in there. Let's talk about the black Christians that are being slaughtered in Libya right now after Gaddafi got taken out. These are things that we need to really throw back in their face, throw the facts in their face. And when they try to go, well, that's not what we're talking about. No, that is the issue. So go on the attack. Put them on the defensive, and then they basically have a nice couple of shut the hell up because of the fact that now you put them on the defense, and that's how we should do it. So definitely also write in local papers in every shape or form. I have a regular column in the Springboard Star Press now called The Freedom File, and I oftentimes put stories from the council website into it. Last year I talked about the HUD secretary saying we're going to start integrating colors into white neighborhoods. Springboro is a fourth-tier suburb white neighborhood for the most part. And now we're starting to find out that with these illegals that they're bringing in, how they're going to do it is if your county gets any type of housing voucher in any way, shape, or form, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to start stuffing them in your neighborhood. Even if it's not in like Springboro, the next city next to us is Franklin, which is a blue city. That's where they start. And then they all start filtering over in our neighborhood, see? So we got to definitely be vigilant about that. And when you get on message boards and talk about that, they want to put their heads in the sand and say, no, that ain't going to happen here. It does happen here. We just had a drug bust in our town a couple weeks ago where they falsely reported it. It was actually, it looked like a Muslim man who was bringing in large quantities of high-grade pot. Well, if they're doing that as a stash house in our neighborhood, what else are they stashing? Next thing you know, we're going to start having Hispanics in our neighborhoods going after our young girls and everything else. And if they don't give in, it's going to be not kosher for them not to be politically incorrect, and they're going to be attacked. So we need to stand up for that. Lastly, what's interesting enough is that when you have conservatives, people come and speak at school boards or whatever places may be, and they talk about, for example, this gentleman here, Larry Swikert. I've always never heard of this guy. He wrote a book called 48 Liberal Lies About American History that you probably learned in school. They brought him in there, and they tried to basically distill his speech into something else, and then when they tried to get him off tangent, Kelly Cole said, okay, that's enough. We're going to go ahead and go on to the next thing. Well, they tried to attack this guy because, in fact, he believes that biblical virtues were necessary to get education. What's wrong with knowing your Bible? You know? I think everybody should at least read the Bible. Read the Quran, too, because, in fact, you need to know what your enemy's thinking. And that's the thing. Because they hate us. For whatever reason, they hate us. Just because we believe in God, we believe in freedom, we believe in America, they have a reason they want to kill us. You need to know what your enemy's doing. And that is by reading their own propaganda, reading their own stuff, and then when they call you on it, say, hey, wait a minute, I remember you saying one time that you, I'm actually a person on my radio show. I would love to get that Black Panther Party leader on here. So you know what? You and I are not dissimilar. We actually have a lot of things. We want our own neighborhoods. We want it owned with our own money. We don't want mixing with the races. We don't want any of this stuff going on. So actually, you and I have a lot in common. We just have to agree to disagree on other things, leave each other alone. And I guarantee you, that would be one hell of an interview, that's for sure. So I would definitely recommend anybody support any type of pro-white music, pro-white radio shows, whatever the case may be. Like in my case, I'm playing a political cesspool in my neighborhood. I now have some new shows I'm going to tap into and put in our work in rotation. And I also have ads from the conservative citizens on my little radio. So at least that way, a message is getting out there. But tell you what, just going to the gas pump, there's a lot of white folk out there who think the same thing we do. They're afraid to speak out with them. Like, you know, but we just keep talking about it. So I go in my neighborhood, talk to my neighbors, we're like, this, you know, what's that joke? How do you tell a white joke? Yeah, look around. Well, that's the way it is now when you talk about white issues that matter. Is stop looking around and start saying, hey, I'm tired of you integrating this. I'm tired of doing this. I'm a white person. I'm offended. I'll tell you what. And I think that's what you do. So lastly, I just want to say, don't be afraid to pick up a pen. Get your mouse. Get your keyboard. Just put something in the op-ed section of the paper. You'd be surprised what type of feedback you get. You will get some good positive ones because as many people that may hate you and write you an email, I really guess, is that all you got? And I'll take that, I'll throw it right back out. In my case, when they attacked me for that flying flag, I just said specifically, I was like, you know what, I have it on video, so I can watch it again. And also, again, I hear crickets. So, know the terminology, know the tactics, know the way to do it, and just tell that, hey, you know, I'm white, I'm proud, hell with you. Have a good day.
Okay, that was my second speech at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference a couple weeks ago in Nashville, and that was basic highlights there, showcasing my particular encounter with the media. Now, Cincinnati Inquirer had called me up and was curious about the story, and I gave plenty of stuff to chew on. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, though, the only way you could access the story was if you had a paid account, which is BS. So thanks to Kyle Rogers from the Council of Conservative Citizens for translating all of my content in that particular aisle, including another person's commentary afterwards. So he definitely put that in. You can look it up on cfcc.org. Okay, we're going to go ahead and cut this a little bit short this evening because I'm really feeling it myself here. Something interesting I saw that Homeland Security is training for zombies. We saw the actual reports of this stuff, which we thought was pretty interesting in its own right, to be completely BS. But they are training for a quote-unquote zombie attack, which could very well happen if there is a biological agent released into the biosphere or in any given particular city's suburb or city core or anything, water system, air duct system in the buildings, whatever the case may be. We're starting to see similar stuff doing it. If you got on video here, here's the thing here. This is Land of Illusion, which is actually King's Island. And it's a Land of Illusion haunted screen park, and our theme is Lock and Load, Fight the Zombie Invasion. It's a zombie sniper patrol. Let's shred the undead. The Land of Illusion Zombie Sniper Patrol ride gives you the power to actually hunt down and pick off zombies before they can pick on you. Climb aboard our retrofitted U.S. Army cargo truck. Settle in behind the pinball gun turrets and turn back the zombie apocalypse. So this is basically Walking Dead on steroids or watching not necessarily The Happening. What was that other one with the zombie? Oh, World War Z. This is the type of crap that's going on there. So they're already turning you to dehumanize people's stuff when they become, obviously, zombified in some way, shape, or form, and whatever jazz. So like I said, we're going to cut off a little short this evening because I'm definitely feeling it. Music for tonight, Animal Grace. Get My Guns from Act of God. We also had Brett Michaels from Songs of Life. We had One More Day. And also we had Broadzilla from the album Lady Luck. We had Burn Baby Burn. So those are definitely the songs to look up and purchase off of Amazon or any other respective downloading things, support local artists, support independent artists, or even support national recording artists that have gone solo, because oftentimes just because they're solo, people may not buy the records, not like the 80s where if you went solo, you actually had a pretty damn good chance of getting some album sales, especially if you sounded good and went slightly away from the group sound, such as Don Henley did when he left the Eagles and went solo. So, nevertheless, it's good stuff. Thanks to my two guests tonight, Earl Conlon, with his On the Boots report of what he saw at that event there in D.C. for the 9/11 Bikers Ride. Also to Richard Gage from Richard Gage AIA from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. It's ae911truth.org. And we are going to finish up here and call it an evening at this particular point. I'm just pretty zipped and definitely got a lot of stuff going. So here's Gary Moore with Phil Lynott, formerly of Thin Lizzy. Rest in peace, both of these gentlemen. They were in Thin Lizzy together one time, actually a couple times. Gary Moore passed away from a sudden heart attack about 2 years ago. And Phil Lynott died from long-term abuse of heroin, died in January 1986. So the 30th anniversary of his death is coming up in a couple of years. That's definitely going to be a pilgrimage for many Thin Lizzy fans. I've actually been to his gravesite there, just north of Dublin, and it's a very, very cool gravesite, nevertheless. All right, here's the military band. FunnyThomas.com.
Get your boy, he's crying. Children say
my children, I bless them, kiss them, and tell them that I miss them. See, I'm frightened of the dark. Mama, mama, the blood is ankle deep. They have turned your boy to
Websites are stthomas.com, cfccohio.org, springbrookteapart.com or .org, dhmd.com, and also check out our advocacy page on Facebook at Air Alex Jones, WHIOWKRC on Facebook, as well as follow us on Facebook, St. Thomas Show, HMD Music Resource Guide, CFCC Ohio, and Springbrook Tea Party. So, on Shemaha.